The Death and Afterlife of Jesus, a Historical Reconstruction, Part 2, a guest post by Platinum member Mark Reichert. Here now is Platinum blog member Mark Reichert's second part of his two-part reflections in which he offers his own reconstruction of what might have happened after the crucifixion. So what do I think really happened? There is no way to know for sure, but I can put together a story that seems plausible and makes sense to me. I believe Jesus and his following travelled to Jerusalem for Passover during the governorship of Pontius Pilate. How large a following, I do not know, though enough for it to be considered a following. Once there, he came to the attention of Roman and or Jewish authorities in a negative way. Either he said, or someone accused him of saying, that he was the king of the Jews. I highly doubt the account in Mark that states that Jesus was bound by Jewish priests and elders and brought before Pilate. This would be like Palestinian authorities turning a Palestinian man over to the Israeli army for execution. Unlikely to happen. If Jewish authorities had a problem with Jesus, they would have been much more likely to take care of it themselves rather than turn one of their own over to the Romans. Also, Mark describes a very strange situation where the people call for the crucifixion of Jesus at the same time as asking for the release of Barabbas. This is almost certainly a fictional story. It's extremely unlikely that Pilate offered to release anyone sentenced to death for treason. However it happened, Jesus was condemned to be crucified. After some time on the cross, Jesus gave up the ghost, either dying or passing out. At this time, Joseph of Arimathea asked the centurion in charge for the body of Jesus, probably telling the centurion that Pilate gave his permission, which was almost certainly a lie, and the centurion relented, letting Joseph take Jesus off the cross. There has been a lot written about the unlikelihood of a Roman centurion allowing Jesus to be taken down early, that such an occurrence could not happen. While I totally doubt that Pilate personally authorized Jesus being taken from the cross, the motivations of an individual centurion are much more obscure. Maybe this centurion had genuine sympathy for Jesus, as described in Mark. Or maybe he just wanted to call it a day and get something to eat. Who knows for sure? But to state that a Roman centurion would never violate orders or protocols is not a safe assumption. There has never been an army at any time or in any place where all soldiers followed all rules to the letter without any deviation, especially when there are no written rules about mandatory procedures. A Roman centurion letting a crucifixion victim be removed from the cross after he appears to be dead is not an entirely unbelievable occurrence to me. Once Joseph of Arimathea and his associates removed Jesus from the cross, they probably noticed that Jesus was still alive. But they would have kept this secret, since the consequence of stating, "He's still alive," would have been horrible, almost certainly resulting in a spear stabbing or some other method to make sure that Jesus was dead. Joseph and his associates would have maintained the "he is dead" subterfuge until Jesus was placed in the tomb. Then, after onlookers left, they would have moved the stone and taken Jesus to another location where he could be cared for. This is the way I envisage the so-called swoon theory, speculation that Jesus passed out, swooned on the cross, and was mistaken for dead. Many Christian believers have tried to discredit the swoon theory. However, I find their arguments unconvincing. For one, some say it's impossible for Jesus to have survived the spear-stabbing incident described in John. I have strong doubts that the spear-stabbing incident occurred at all, at least in the case of Jesus' crucifixion. Another argument against the swoon theory is that Jesus suffered too much trauma to be able to move the stone blocking the tomb and overpower the Roman guards. But who says Jesus must have moved the stone himself and Romans were guarding the tomb? There is only a brief mention of keepers in Matthew, not Roman guards, which sounds like an embellishment rather than a witness statement. It's not likely anyone was guarding the tomb. Swoon theory opponents claim that it's impossible for Jesus to have survived the crucifixion. Therefore, Jesus must have been resurrected. I find this claim rather humorous. There is no precedent, beside Jesus, for a person being resurrected into a new glorified body, and no way for current science to do such a thing. Resurrection could be considered impossible. Also, there is no known way for a body to defy gravity and float into the sky. Another impossible situation. It makes no sense to me that the swoon theory cannot be correct, because it is impossible. Yet holds to a belief that resurrection and ascension into heaven provides the correct answer, even though it requires two impossible occurrences. Stories of living beings declared dead, then coming back to life, are quite common. There are countless incidents where a seemingly dead life form, someone or something that appears to have died, has come back to life. Think of a plant that was killed, a dead animal on the side of the road, or a patient who dies on an operating table. If the plant resprouts, if the roadkill gets up and walks off, or if the dead patient shows sign of life, it's considered a simple act of revival. Nothing impossible about it. I once put an opossum into a trash can thinking it was dead, only to hear it trying to get out a little while later. In all cases of dead things coming back to life, the simplest explanation is that someone made a premature determination of death. There is very little expectation that these beings have been brought back to life in a new, glorified body. So if Jesus really was seen walking and interacting with people after his crucifixion, the most likely explanation is a premature determination of death. The Gospels are silent about what occurred immediately following burial. Certainly, Joseph of Arimathea and his associates could have rolled back the stone and removed Jesus from the tomb while he was still alive. They could have brought him to a place where he could be treated and looked after, while stationing a person or two to meet supporters of Jesus who were likely to come to the tomb on Sunday morning. As described by Josephus, a person who suffered the trauma of crucifixion is still likely to die, but may survive if properly treated. Jesus had suffered very significant trauma, and he likely suffered from infection. The people caring for him could not restore his health, and he died, for real this time, not long after the crucifixion. But he lived long enough to convince disciples and other supporters that he had been resurrected. Circumstances of his second death are unknown. The Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles are rather vague about who witnessed the ascension into heaven. I assume the people who were taking care of Jesus stayed close to him and kept his interactions with disciples to a minimum. Then, away from the disciples, Jesus died. Rather than telling the disciples the truth, the caregivers told Jesus was received up into heaven. Of course, I have no proof for the story I just told, and there may be good reason to think that some of my conjectures are wrong. If I have made some assumptions that cannot be supported, I would like to know about it. But given that I have never heard or read a plausible story about the death and resurrection of Jesus, I figure it's about time someone wrote one.